You know, I found as a kid, I learned by copying. I was a copycat. And I remember when I was learning how to draw numbers, I got to the number 8 and I couldn't work out how everyone's 8s, the circles were so close together. And so my sister goes, no, because I used to draw 2 circles. And she said, no, let me show you how you do it. And she showed me how you start from the top and you kind of curl into the bottom and you curl all the, and it blew my mind. I thought, that's amazing. He just did, I was starting writing 8s all the time, just do that all the time. Okay, everyone does that. I worked out that's pretty normal, but that was the way I learned. And all the way through school, that's the way I learned. When I learned to play tennis, I would copy my coach. When I learned to play the violin, I would copy my teacher. Even when I was in Bible college, I was learning how to write essays by typing to Google examples of essays. That's how I learned how to write essays. I had no idea how to write them. I remember the first time someone invited me to pray out loud. I'd just become a Christian. We were sitting in the car with one of my good friends from church. I said, do you want to pray? I'd never done that before. But I gave it a shot. And I prayed. Well, I just basically prayed for what other people I'd heard pray for. Because they seemed like good things. So I prayed and I thanked God that we could gather and we could pray. I thanked God that we don't live under persecution. I thanked God for health. I prayed for others that they might know Jesus. And I prayed for these things, not just because, well, they were good things, but I'd heard other people pray for them. I'm really quite glad that we spent some time praying the Lord's Prayer. And when Jesus gave that to his disciples, why he gave it was the disciples said, teach us how to pray. Show us how to pray. And he gave them, he said, this is how you pray. And so today, as we look at Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, God is again inviting us to, this is how you pray. Copy me when you pray. And he's inviting us to see from God's own word, this is prayer that glorifies God. We read the whole of chapter 3, but as you probably noticed, Paul's prayer really is in the second half. And so I pick it up from chapter 3, verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. I've never prayed for power before. Of all the things I've copied other people pray for, I've never copied other people pray for. It sounds a little bit demonic, I think. A little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit mystical to pray for power. Yet that's what he's praying for. It does sound a bit weird, but Paul does mention what this power is. He's mentioned it before. So if you come back with me in chapter 1 in Ephesians. And I read it from verse 18. And Paul does mention something about this power. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. When Paul prays for power, he's saying, You've seen this power when God raised Jesus from the dead. That is an act of power. But it's more than just this power that he showed in raising Jesus from death to the heavenly realms. Come with me to chapter 2, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Paul says, this same power, the same power that God showed in raising Jesus from death to life to the in the heavenly realms, you see, it's the same power, it's the same power that God used when he saved the Ephesians, and he saved them from spiritual death to have spiritual life with Jesus in the heavenly realms. He says the same thing. He's saying, you know, when you and I were saved in the gospel, when you realize that we rejected God and deserved his punishment, but received his mercy and grace in Jesus, that is an act of God's divine power. This saving power, this saving power that God first used when he raised Jesus from death to life in the heavenly realms, it's the same power that God still uses and has used in our lives when we first accepted the gospel and he raised us from spiritual death to spiritual life. It's a saving power, a life-giving power, a transforming power. And so in coming back to our prayer then, is what he says. He said, 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. He's saying, I want you to have the same power. God strengthened them with this same life-saving, life-giving, life-transforming power through your spirit in their inner being. God, I pray that you might strengthen these guys with your saving power through the spirit in their inner being. Keep changing the inside of the Ephesians. Keep transforming the inside just like how you changed Jesus from death to life. You save people from spiritual death to spiritual life. Here's the universal truth. We all want transformation. We all want change in life. We want things to be different. And so when people are sick, we pray that God will give them healing. I think that's a good prayer. We want change. I know friends who are currently unemployed and they pray that God will give them work. I pray that God will give them work. We want things to change. When people are in deep suffering, we pray that God would give them comfort. We want our lives to be different, to be changed. Here's the difference, though. More often than not, we want God's power to be known by changing the outside. Change the circumstances of life. And so, God, I pray that you might help my friend to not feel sick anymore. Change the outside. God, I pray that you might change my friend from having no job to have a job. Change the outside. God, I pray for my friends that you might help them in their suffering, remove their suffering. We're always praying that God might change our lives. But the change we normally seek is the change of the outside, a change of the circumstances. Paul prays not that the circumstances might change, but a prayer for the inner being. God, I'm praying that you might strengthen them with power, that same power that transforms death to life, and work it in the inner being. In other words, transform the thoughts, transform the attitudes, transform the character, transform the way their will and their minds. Strengthen them with power through the Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ might dwell in their hearts through faith. The goal is change them so that Christ might dwell in their hearts. Well, what does that mean? Maybe I could give an illustration. Me and my wife, Stephanie, we've lived in Lidcombe for the past almost 3 years now. And none of you have been there. Well, I think not. But if you happen to go there, and even went there, you would know it was our house because, well, you'd look around and you'd see our wedding photos. You know, that's Simon. You'd see our friends on our staircase. You would even see photos of Dave and Stephanie and Benji. Well, the wardrobes are filled with our clothes. It's got my car in the garage. The mail that comes in, it's got our names on it. But it wasn't always like that. See, the very first day we got the keys to our place and moved in, well, we did live there. Technically, we did live there. That was the first day we lived there. But it didn't look like we lived there. In fact, even though it was our home, it looked like someone else lived there. There were kid stickers on the door. On top of the dishwasher, it was just filled with like mouse poo. It was just everywhere because also they just didn't really look after it very well. The walls had all these stains and marks on them, and almost every piece of mail had a different name on it from every previous person that has ever lived there. And so from the first day we moved in, well, we lived there, but it didn't look like we lived there on that first day. And so in the last 3 years, me and Seth, even though we've always lived there, over time, it's now changed. So it actually looks like who lives there. So we've taken off the kids' stickers that the previous people had and put up our own photos. We've returned all the old mail. Now the mail has our names on it. We've cleaned the dishwasher. And that actually kind of looks more like we live there now. In the next few weeks, we're actually going to start painting the walls. So we'll get rid of some of the marks and the stains from the previous people. When Paul is praying for the inner being that Christ might dwell in their hearts with his same transforming power, he's praying that more and more their lives might reflect who really does live there now. Just like the first day when me and my wife moved in, it didn't look like we lived there, even though we did. Paul is asking the same thing for the Ephesians, praying even more and more it might really reflect who really lives there now. So it's not just asking to transform thoughts, but to transform sinful thoughts of the dead self to godly thoughts of the new self in Jesus. More than just asking God to transform the attitudes, but transform the sinful attitudes of the dead self to the godly attitudes of the new self. Not just asking to transform the will, but to transform broken religious wills of the dead self to wills that earnestly want to seek to obey Jesus. See, if I could put what Paul is saying in a different way, it's this. The grace and power that God shows in saving us is not a one-time event, but it's the same grace and the same power that transforms us all the time. Saved by grace and sanctified by grace. And that is what Paul is praying for. And so here's how it should change the way we pray and speak to God. To move the focus away from changing the outside. God changed the outside to change the inside. The inner being where Christ dwells. We can pray that God might give healing on our sickness. I think that's a good prayer. Don't stop praying for those prayers. It's not wrong to pray that God might change the outside. Here's a better prayer. I pray that even in your sickness, that God's transforming grace is still growing you to be like Jesus. We can pray that God might remove our suffering. That's a good prayer. But we could pray like this. I pray that even in your suffering, that God's transforming grace will be so powerful that it will not stop you from going to be more like Jesus. Even if you have no comfort, you will still be growing like Jesus. And so I want to say that for us who love Jesus, Paul's prayer encourages us to shift away the focus from the outside to the inside. To long for that power, the same power that God showed in raising Jesus and saving us, that saving grace might be the same transforming grace in making us more like Him. But as we kind of continue with this prayer, Paul doesn't stop there. He continues to say in Ephesians 3, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Well, he keeps praying for power. It's pretty straightforward. But this time it's a bit different. It's power to understand, power to grasp the depth of God's love for them. But he notice how he starts. He says, "You guys, you're already rooted in the love of God." The problem is that it's not that I don't understand it, but Paul is saying, you don't understand enough. I know you know the love of God, but I pray you might know it even more. He has said this before. In Ephesians 2, verse 3, it says, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Paul prays. He says, "I want you to have transforming power to understand the dimensions of this love of God, the same love that God showed when he saved you. I am praying you might see just how deep it is. How deep this love that God has for the unlovable. How deep this God has this love for the people who deserve wrath. A grace that God gives to the unworthy. You know, I've just been ordained as a minister, and the guys in my congregation, they're all going through the marriage phase. So I'm doing a lot of weddings, and I've quickly realized I'm finding it really quite hard to come up with new wedding sermons every wedding because the same guys, it's the same friends, And so someone said to you, oh, look, Simon, you don't have to worry about it. We know what you're going to say. You're going to say God loves sinners. That's okay. We get it. I wonder if it's a dangerous thing to say, I get it. I get the gospel. I wonder if sometimes the one thing that stops us from growing to be more like Jesus, it's not because of the circumstances, it's not obeying more, not praying more, not even loving Jesus more, but understanding His love more. Depth of the gospel, or lack of depth of the gospel, is the one thing that stops us from growing to be more like Jesus. I think the moment that you and I stop growing in the depth of the gospel, or the depth of God's love, it's the same day we stop growing to be more like Jesus. And that's what Paul is praying for here. He prays to God, asking that the Ephesians might grow in grasping the depth of the love of God. That's what he says in verse 19. He says, and to know, you've got to know that this love surpasses knowledge, so that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It is grasping the dimensions of God's love for us that is the key to being filled to all the fullness of God. And so the foundation of Christian living, it has always started and always continues, not in what we do, but to keep on pursuing the depth of God's love for us in Jesus. I can't remember the last time I've prayed like this. In fact, I don't know. It's worth thinking through. When's the last time we ever heard this prayer in our church? I can't speak for here, but I can know I can speak for our congregation. I don't think I've never copied that from anyone. God, I pray that you might give us a greater understanding of the depth of your love, so that we might be filled to the full measure of who you are. If there's one last question that's worth asking, it's why does Paul pray like this? Why does he pray? Why does Paul pray to God, asking that he might strengthen them with his transforming grace, this transforming power to be like Jesus and to grow in understanding of the depth of his love? Because praying for health and praying for work and praying for exams and praying for finances and praying for safety, I pray for these things. We all pray for these things. But why not power from God to transform the inner being? Notice how Paul, he starts off with this prayer in 14, he says 3:14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. There's a reason why he's praying like this. We find this out back in chapter 2, 21. Because Paul's in praying that Christ might dwell. And this word dwell, we find it back in Ephesians 2:21. And this is what 2:21 says. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul says, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. God's plan is that the Ephesians might become the dwelling place in which God lives. That's his plan. And this is exactly what Paul prays for them. If this is God's plan, well, I'm going to pray that plan then. I'm going to pray that you might have power so that Christ might dwell in your inner being. So the reason Paul prays is because this is God's will for his people. Paul is praying in line with God's purposes. God says, my plan is to dwell in you guys. And he says, well, that's the reason why I'm going to start praying that Christ might dwell in you guys. I want to say that God is most glorified in our prayers when we pray according to his will. And God is most unglorified, perhaps, when we pray that he might respond according to our own will. That's basically what we've been, what we opened. We prayed the Lord's Prayer, and we prayed that. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul prays for the things that God wants for his people. And it is the same for us as people who love Jesus today to continue praying that God might make his purposes known in his people. That he might continue to dwell in us and to continue to transform us by his grace with an ever-increasing grasp of the depth of God's love. You know, sometimes in our Bible study group, me and some of the guys will sit around and we'll say, so what do you want to pray for? I think sometimes, now that I've really thought about this a bit, sometimes the way it's kind of played out is a bit like this. So what do you want God to do for you? What do you want God to do for you? And let's ask him, see if he can do it for you. And so we start listing the things that we would like God to do if he could do it. And what if sometimes the reality is that these prayers seem to be more about, God, if you wouldn't mind, could you do this for me? I'd really like it if you could do this for me. Sometimes we've been caught up in, God, can you please do my will? Rather, God, do yours. And today, we are called to let our prayers and our speech to God be shaped by the gospel and his purposes. Just as Paul prays, the way he does here, God, let your will be done. Not mine. God, your purpose and your will is good, and to make it known in the lives of your people. Your plan is to dwell in your people, so I pray, God, that you might dwell in your people. And so as we close in reading God's word together, Paul's prayer invites us to copy him, to learn from him, to pray longing for God's transforming power, so that Jesus might truly rule in our lives, to pray with a longing for the same transforming power to grasp the depth of God's love, and to pray motivated by God's good will for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.